Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome to episode 187 of the English with Kirsty podcast. And today I want to talk about listening and being a better listener. Because it's something that we talk about a lot, you know, especially when you're learning a language, you have reading tasks and writing tasks and speaking tasks and listening tasks. And the problem with a lot of the listening tasks is they're, well, most of them, they're testing your understanding when you hear something. So they maybe you have to find some information about what somebody said to copy down some figures or amounts or times or names or places or whatever it is, but you're trying to get information from a spoken conversation or something that somebody's reading aloud. But one of the most important ways in which you can use your listening skills is in conversations, and that's not really taught as much in many language teaching programs. But it's not only those who are learning another language that need to be better listeners. I think as some meetings have moved online in the last year, we're coming to see that some people really are not very good at listening. And that's a problem for them because they're missing important information. And it's a problem for those around them too, because it's difficult to have a meeting if you have one or more participants who aren't willing to or aren't able to listen. I think a lot of the time it isn't they aren't willing to, they just don't realise how they're perhaps not very good at it. And I think maybe we can all improve. We hear about passive listening and active listening and how active listening is important in a conversation. But I think sometimes we don't actually do it as often as we should. And that's a shame because it is actually a really good and important thing to do. So I think because some people know me in real life and know me from working in other programs that I have, I just want to get rid of the myth before we start, because I am sometimes people think that if you don't have one sense available to you, like I don't, I'm unable to see, then your other senses are really good and therefore you're automatically good at listening. And that's just really not true. I know people that aren't able to see that are terrible listeners and that don't pay attention to anything around them, and that's, you know, it's not something that you're naturally good at. I think we develop this sense of being able to really listen and not just hear because we rely on it more than, you know, because sight isn't available, then you rely on the senses that you do have or you learn to. But it's not something that is naturally better. It's still something that you have to work at and develop. So I'm coming at this from the perspective of somebody who generally does listen quite well because I miss important visual clues. I don't have them. So I do need to make up for that somehow and to get information in a different way. But this is something that we can all learn to do. It's not an exclusive thing. So I think, you know, let's not believe this myth anymore. let's understand that everybody needs to work at this and everybody needs to develop these skills. So in terms of listening, when I do it, it's listening to what people say because I want to understand what they have to say. It's also what they don't say. What do they avoid saying? Because that can give you clues too. How they say things, whether they have to kind of stop and think about it or whether they reply immediately. Information in things that people say that is supposed to be like a joke or a comment that you just missed, but actually, was there something there that was important? So listening to all of what people say, not just the things that they put emphasis on. So I think everybody knows that it's important to listen, but here are just a couple of reasons why it's important. So obviously, if you don't listen, you can miss important information, and that might be relevant for you, particularly in a business context. If you're not listening, you might miss something that's going to be relevant for you later, or, you know, something that everybody else knows but you don't because you were looking at your phone or answering an email or doing something that means you weren't listening. But it can also be embarrassing if you don't, because I remember being in a meeting and making a point and then somebody said exactly the same thing about 10 minutes later and everybody just laughed and said, you know, Kirsty said that 10 minutes ago, right? And it didn't look good for them because it made it really obvious that they weren't paying attention. it can show that you're interested. I guess because I work on a more one-to-one basis with my customers, I do get to know a bit more about them. Some people tell you more, others not so much. But generally people, when you ask how they are, they will tell you. And so sometimes I ask people the next time I see them, you know, how is your dog or whatever, a dog that had to go to the vets, or, you know, somebody was in hospital, ask how they were. And I remember one customer being really surprised about that. And I thought it was just a normal thing to do. But apparently they were surprised that I'd retained that information. I don't have like a spreadsheet on everybody with all the information I want to retain about them. I just remember stuff. But I think it's easier to remember stuff because I was listening in the first place. So it shows that you're interested in people and you don't just see them as a means to get a job done. They are people with concerns and lives, and if you're interested in that, people feel listened to. If you're listening, it will help you to ask the right follow-up questions. So if you're not listening, then you won't be able to do that. It whether you're working on something with somebody or whether you're trying to get to the bottom of a problem, you know what you can ask because of the information that the other person gives you. And if you're not listening to that, you're not going to be able to ask meaningful follow-up questions, because if you have a set of ideas and things you want to ask and that's already been answered, then you're not going to look very smart, because you know you can move on from that because you've already got the information. I think making time to listen prevents small problems becoming bigger, because you can have that discussion in the first place before it becomes a really big problem. And I guess it also shows that you don't think everything is about your agenda. So maybe you had an idea, but maybe someone else can develop that. They can improve on it. And if you're willing to listen to them, then it shows that you're willing to collaborate and to work together with people to find the best solution, rather than just, you know, coming and demanding that everybody listens to your solution. And I don't think some people do that on purpose, but it can come across that way if they're not willing to listen to what other people have to say and take the feedback on board. So how to be a better listener? I've got some points here. Focus on the person and what they're saying without distractions, because some people are really good at multitasking. When I worked in an office with other colleagues, I was quite good at typing and having a conversation with somebody about two different things and doing both of them relatively well. And that's okay if you're just having general chat in the office, but if somebody's come to you because they want to tell you something that's important, even if you are able to listen and do something else, it feels like you're not being listened to if somebody is looking at their phone or typing or wandering around or whatever. It's really good to give people the idea that they have your attention sometimes, particularly if they're trying to tell you something that's important. So listening is good. Looking like you're listening is also good. And I don't mean about that you have to look at them all the time. I just mean that you're not obviously busy with something else. I don't know where the quote came from, but there is a quote that says something to the effect of listen to learn and not to think about what you want to say next. So, you know, the point is to listen to what the other person is saying and not to think how you can put your next point into the conversation. And I know that's difficult, especially if you're working in another language, because sometimes you have to think a bit ahead, thinking, oh, what is the word for that? And how do I put this in the sentence? You know, sometimes it takes longer to produce sentences in another language. But if you are focusing the whole time on what you want to say next, then you're not listening to the other person. And yeah, that the conversation can break down then, because your focus is on your next contribution to the conversation and not what the other person just said. Misplaced empathy can be a problem. You know, sometimes people want to show empathy. I think sometimes it's better just to be honest if you don't know what to say or you haven't been in a situation. I think sometimes for me the worst thing is people trying to show that, oh yeah, I know how you feel, when they obviously don't, and talk about some vaguely related but completely irrelevant experience that they've had. I can see that it's a good intention, but the problem there is that people often miss the point. So For example, if you're talking about, I don't know, the last year or so during the lockdown here being difficult, and if somebody makes that comment and then somebody else says, oh yeah, it's been really difficult, I've struggled with this and this and this, and you think, well, okay, but that's not the point that I was making. I think sometimes people can feel unheard because in an attempt to show empathy and to find some common ground, sometimes people go completely off the point, and then it becomes about the second person and what they want to share, which is also valid, but it kind of derails the first person's point because the second person isn't listening anymore. They're talking about their own experience. And there is a balance there. Sometimes, you know, sharing experiences and sharing strategies for dealing with problems is good, but you have to be sure that you've identified what the problem is in the first place. And if you're just going to talk about your own experiences, you're probably less likely to be able to do that. And on a similar point, but in terms of advice, make sure your advice is relevant, because there are often situations where people start talking about a problem and then I think in attempt to be helpful, other people say, oh yeah, I did this, or I know someone who did this. And you know, that is useful because you're sharing solutions, but you have to be sure that the solution you're sharing is a solution to the problem that we're talking about at the time. So sometimes I think people just take a couple of key words and think, oh yeah, okay, it's a problem about dogs. And you know, like they come up with all the dog stories they can, but you know, make sure that the solution you're offering is relevant to the problem that's being discussed. And I'm sure people just want to be helpful, but it's not helpful when people do that, because it makes the other person feel that they're not being listened to. You've just heard a couple of key words and you're not really interested in the rest of the information because you already want to share your solution to the problem. And you can only share good solutions when you've established what the problem is. Number five, be okay with some silence. I think sometimes people want to fill every minute because sometimes because they have a lot to say, but sometimes because they're uncomfortable with silence. And silence is okay sometimes in a conversation when people are just taking a bit of time to reflect, or to let what the other person said sink in, or maybe to think about what they want to say next. But it doesn't need to be that people are talking all the time. Obviously, there can be uncomfortable silences when nobody knows what to say and it is uncomfortable. But sometimes, you know, a few seconds, it's not a big deal, and it sometimes it gives people the time they need to process, to move on, to think about the next point. You don't have to fill every single second with speech. And number six is make time. Like if you look like you want to be somewhere else, or if you are kind of poised waiting to dash out the door, maybe that's not the best time to have a conversation if you really need to be somewhere else. But like the point that I made earlier, people knowing that you're paying attention is important, but also people knowing that you will have time to let them finish. And obviously there are those people who will make what they have to say fit the time that they have and will keep talking. But you know, making people feel that you are willing to take time for them and not begrudgingly taking time for them is important. But also managing expectations is important. So if you really have to be somewhere, you know, telling them and making another time to talk to them is better than looking like, come on, finish what you're going to say so I can leave. You know, that doesn't make people feel listened to either. Number seven, ask relevant questions that show you're listening. That ties in with the importance of listening. The only way you can ask relevant questions is to be aware of what the other person is saying, to know what they have said, where the gaps are that need to be filled in. If you don't understand something, if they haven't quite explained something, and also questions about the solution. If it's a problem, you can ask relevant questions if you've been listening to what that problem actually is. Number eight, something I've noticed. Well, I always used to find it incredibly annoying in face-to-face meetings, but I think more people are being annoyed by it now in more online meetings. But you know, people talking over other people not letting people speak. I think in face-to-face meetings, there was a lot of visual signs and ways to agree on who's next. But I think that didn't always work either. So people don't have those now in online meetings. But you have to work out, you know, who's gonna speak next. So that could be somebody who's leading the meeting, taking a more active role to make sure that everybody can speak. if somebody really won't stop talking, I guess you can put them on mute. But, you know, obviously that brings its own problems. I've felt like doing that to a couple of people, but I haven't yet. But it's about, you know, taking turns and being willing to take turns. And if you talk over somebody, they might fight with you. They might both keep talking. Or one person might just shut down and think, well, if you're not going to listen to me, I'm not going to waste my energy on this. So it's more difficult when you've got more people in the meeting, but it's vital that we don't all talk over each other and that we do make space to listen to one another. Obviously, it's not okay if one person monopolizes the meeting, but it is important to give everybody the opportunity to contribute something. And going along with that, not just not talking at the same time as other people, but don't interrupt people. It's impolite. Obviously, if somebody is going to try and take the meeting on a completely different tangent and it's not relevant to what you're there for, that needs to be managed. But interrupting people because you think you've got a more interesting and more important point doesn't do a lot for your relationship with the other people in that meeting. And I don't think people always think, oh, my point is more important. But if you interrupt somebody and they're speaking and they haven't finished, and they obviously haven't finished, then it communicates a message that you think your point is more important, or you think that theirs isn't worth listening to. And even if you don't think that, the message that you communicate by not being willing to listen to them is they will take that away, and they will probably remember how you made them feel more than what you actually said, which may have been really interesting, but they won't remember that because they felt shut down and interrupted. And number 10, sometimes it can be useful to summarise, especially if somebody's been talking for a long time, summarise what you've heard, what you think they want to say, what you think the actions are, what you think the problems are, what you think people have agreed to do, whatever it is, to summarise that and make sure that what you've heard is the same as what the other person or people wanted to communicate. So there's a list. None of that is particularly new, but I think it's good to revisit it sometimes and to think about how we communicate with others, not just in terms of what we say and how we communicate our own ideas and messages, but also how we listen, how we interact as part of a team or in a one-to-one conversation. Listening is so underrated, but it's so important both for building relationships and for really understanding what the other person wants to say.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.